This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Move on. You know, that's the biggest thing. We've done it all year. We're going to continue to do it. So we want to make sure that we move away from this one as quick as we can, and then we get ourselves ready for a really good opponent coming up.
A tough way to end the weekend for the Calgary Flames, and a tough end to a three-game road trip. Back-to-back losses in Florida and Carolina set the Flames up for a tough home stretch after the Scotiabank Saddledome that starts on Tuesday when they welcome in the Colorado Avalanche. Welcome to Sportsnet Today. Happy Monday. It's Logan Gordon along with you in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. For our friends at Doug Lacey's Basement Systems, do you have cracks in your walls, floors, or ceilings? Visit dlbasementsystems.com for a free estimate. They're all things basement-y. 5-1. Florida over Calgary, 7-2 Carolina over Calgary Saturday and Sunday. Post-trade deadlines has not been a lot of fun for the Calgary Flames. We will dive into what was a pretty dismal end to the weekend for the Flames in Carolina. We'll also continue to break down what the rest of the season is going to look like for this team following a busy NHL trade deadline on Friday. Megan Mickelson, the color voice of the Calgary Flames here on Sportsnet 960, is going to join us a little bit later this hour to see what she's been seeing from the group following the departures of Chris Tanev and Noah Hanifin most recently. And our pal Jason Bukola from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca is going to join us as well to take a look at some of the biggest moves around the league post-trade deadline, including, yes, Tomáš Hertl to the Vegas Golden Knights, which I am still sitting here processing how that happened like 3 days after the NHL trade deadline finished up on Friday. My outstanding producers on the program on this Monday, Cam and Shan are along with me. Would love to hear from you on the fan feedback line. If you're listening live, shoot us a text at 960-960. The fan feedback line always open to you here on Sportsnet Today. But yes, we unfortunately have to start with what was a pretty brutal end to the weekend for the Calgary Flames. Carolina 7, Calgary 2. And what I would pretty easily say one of the more disappointing efforts from the Calgary Flames all season long. And maybe a slight window into what the rest of the season might look like for the Calgary Flames without their number one D pairing of Chris Tanev and Noah Hanifin. I mean, it's not going to be 7-2 every night. I'm going to give the Hurricanes a lot of credit. They played an outstanding game. They were the better team from the beginning to the end. There's no other way about that. And they took it to the Flames in every way, shape, and form on Sunday. But for those that were out there wondering, I think this team could probably do okay and probably survive the losses of a Chris Tanev or a Noah Hanifin, I think Sunday and even part of it on Saturday was a good reminder of just how much those two guys mean to the Calgary Flames on a night-to-night basis. And again, it's not going to be 7-2 every night. There are going to be better efforts. The forwards weren't great. The goaltending wasn't great. Everything was bad on Sunday for the Calgary Flames. I don't believe for a second it's going to look like that down the final stretch here for the Calgary Flames. But I do think, you know, when it comes to defending and shutting down top teams, players, star players, it's going to look like that some nights. Rasmus Anderson and Mackenzie Weegar, you got to be better than that. More so, I think, Saturday from Weegar than Sunday, because no one was good Sunday. But, you know, those are the two guys that are going to be relied on mostly here. Brayden Bahal still learning to be a full-time NHLer. You know, Oliver Shillington has been asked to do a lot more than we thought he would ever get to do at some point this season. You got to be the two guys that are going to be the top of that. Again, for me, are Weegar and Anderson. You got to get more out of them than you saw on the weekend. Wasn't good offensively. We saw head coach Ryan Huska go to the blender a bit and change up his lines. Didn't really result in much. If you want to keep one positive out of Sunday, Yegor Sharangovich remained hot. I guess that's a silver lining for the Calgary Flames in a game that didn't have many. You were doubled up in shots. Barely were able to get anything shots on goal going in the first two periods. And as you'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska here, post-game, following the loss to Carolina, just not much they're going to take from that game.
Ryan, what's most troubling about the loss tonight for you?
It wasn't. It was one of those games where you're not going to really take a lot from. We weren't good in really any aspect of it.
Anything specific that bugs you? I mean, Blake just talked about the effort. He said that is what kind of...
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't good. The skating wasn't good. The game plan wasn't good. It was everything.
Is this one of those games you just throw away then?
I think you use it, but yeah, it's not one that you ever want to replicate again, that's for sure. They skated and we didn't tonight.
You guys have been pretty good up until Florida, even that first period, we talked about it was a pretty good period, but since then, we've had five periods where it was pretty ugly. Any explanation for that? Or
no, we just weren't very good, period. Like, no explanation for it. I don't think we were competitive enough tonight. For me, that's what it comes down to a lot of times. You can make sure your work is there and your detail is there. And tonight we didn't have either. So that's it for me tonight.
The schedule stays tough this week. How do you kind of coach your team through this?
Move on. You know, that's the biggest thing. We've done it all year. We're going to continue to do it. So we want to make sure that we move away from this one as quick as we can. And then we get ourselves ready for a really good opponent coming up.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
There's the head coach of the Calgary Flames post-game on Sunday following a loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. Final score, Carolina 7, Calgary 2. Hard not to disagree with the coach. It's probably best to just move on. Don't spend the flight back to Calgary poring over tape and trying to go into exact detail over what happened. Just move on, because you don't have much choice if you're the Calgary Flames. The return home doesn't get any easier for this group. You'll see Nathan MacKinnon and the loaded-up Colorado Avalanche on Tuesday. Oh, and then Thursday, Noah Hanifin and the Vegas Golden Knights come to town. Now, the good news, I guess, about Vegas coming to town Thursday is Tomas Hertl is still on IR, so he's not going to play. But still, pretty good team. Still got Anthony Mantha. Jack Eichel's back and healthy. Noah Hanifin's back in Calgary. And we'll talk about this later in the week, because there's still a game Tuesday to get to. Very curious what kind of reception Noah Hanifin gets on Thursday. My guess is it's a chilly one from Flames fans. I don't imagine the diehards that I know that listen to the station that watch the Flames on a consistent basis and kind of got the lowdown on how everything went from Noah and his agent at the end of the day. I don't think it's going to be a warm reception for Noah Hanifin, but we'll wait and see. It's a four-game homestand that kicks off Tuesday. Colorado's in town, Vegas in town. How about Saturday night against the Montreal Canadiens? And then the Washington Capitals make their lone visit to town on Monday. Four-day break for the Calgary Flames coming up in March. And then a quick one-game road trip out to Vancouver before they welcome in the Buffalo Sabres on the 24th of March. So a key stretch for the Calgary Flames, and they'll take a look at the standings on this Monday. Look, whether you've enjoyed it or not, for a large portion of this season, the Flames have been in and around the playoff conversation. As we talk about things on this Monday, it's a little bit of a more dire situation now for the Calgary Flames. The Vegas Golden Knights hold the final playoff spot in the Western Conference, the wild card picture. They have 75 points. The Calgary Flames currently sitting with 67. Equal number of games played coming for both teams. So the Vegas Golden Knights holding an 8-point lead right now over Calgary. Seattle and Minnesota right now stand between Calgary and Las Vegas for that final spot. If you're still holding out hope for a playoff run for the Calgary Flames, you got to imagine Thursday's game head-to-head with the Vegas Golden Knights going to be a big one. So look, the bad is there. We talked about it. We're not going to, you know, continue to play down on what happened on Sunday. Let's talk about some of the positive, some of the new things that we saw from this Calgary Flames team. 960-960, want to hear your opinion. How have some of the new guys struck you on the Calgary Flames? Got our first chance this weekend to see one of the new acquisitions in the trade from the Vegas Golden Knights in number 62, Daniil Miramanov. Played 20 minutes and 26 seconds on Sunday. No shots, no hits, and a minus two on the card for Miramanov. We've got a couple games now of Joel Hanley. He was at 16:06 of ice time. And, I mean, we can even get into the conversation of how have you liked, you know, this round of call-up for Matt Coronato. Sunday, not so great. Minus three, 10:39 of ice time. I thought he struggled on Sunday. But the first two games of the call-up, I liked that line with Sharon Govich, Huberto, and Matt Coronato. Bearded Matt Coronato was still a strange thing for me, the young guy sporting that beard, Chan. But I thought he's done some good things on this call-up. And Dryden Hunt, he scored a couple of big goals as well.
I thought Coronato, his confidence that after the call-up, especially those two games before Sunday, that was the more NHL-ready Matt Coronato, the guy that's been dominating the AHL, making plays on both ends of the ice. That was a lot more promising than what we saw earlier on in the season.
So some good and some bad. I've liked Miramanov, to be honest. This is a really intriguing player, and I know going back to Friday, and we had the conversation all day long on our trade deadline coverage about it would have been nice to get a prospect back and have somebody younger. I don't mind taking a chance on a guy like this. It's got a lot of offensive upside. You can see that in his game. He loves jumping up. He's a really good passer. He skates really well for his size. I'm curious to see as the rest of this season goes on and he gets more and more comfortable. Remember, this is a guy coming off of ACL and meniscus surgery from last March in 2023. So he's still working his way back as far as game shape and getting back to a full routine of hockey again. So I've liked him. I'm curious if the text line feels the same way at 960-960. Seen a couple of the new guys. What have you thought of Joel Hanley? I think Hanley's been just fine. I haven't expected more than that from him. He's a physical guy. I think he works really hard, kind of similar to Braden Paul, but maybe a little bit older. Nothing fancy, but a guy that I think you can throw out there on a pretty consistent basis if you're Ryan Huska and know what you're going to get. And we're still talking. We haven't seen the latest acquisition on Friday from the San Jose Sharks either. So perhaps we'll see a new look defensive structure from the Calgary Flames come Tuesday. They are off on Monday, getting a well-deserved break after a back-to-backs on the weekend. Some of your texts at 960-960. Starting with this one, Flames have been playing on adrenaline and it's worn off now. At this point, the Flames might as well bring up Wolf and decide whether Markstrom is tradable in the offseason. This text says, Miro is sick, reminds me a lot of Stone with the clappers. He does like the slap shot. I'll give him that one. This one says, no, Flames are probably out of it for a few years now, especially if Markstrom goes this season, ... idiots. And this text says, in all honesty, they didn't stick out, but Weegar and Anderson stuck out for all the wrong reasons this weekend. Yeah, I kind of touched on that earlier, and that was a bit of a worry over the weekend. I'm not going to lie. So much is going to be put on Weegar and Anderson going forward as this team's new top pair. And I got to be honest, the first couple days, Didn't love it. But look, this is, I don't want to say we've been preparing for this, but it's just kind of what I expected to a degree. Again, I don't want to sit back and say, expect it to be 7-2 every single night the rest of the way. I don't expect this group to come out and have a performance like Sunday. Rarely, if again, this season. But this team now is going to struggle defensively. That's just the reality of it. And they're going to have to figure out how to limit opportunities, how to limit shots against, because those are things that Noah Hanifin and Chris Tanev did really well, and you're trying out pieces that, let's be honest, maybe weren't full-time NHLers. Has Braden Pahal been a really nice add for this team? Yeah, absolutely he has. He's not used to playing 18, 19 minutes a night. Back when he was with Vegas, he was a 6-7 guy. Some nights he wasn't even playing. Now the Flames have him playing in a top four spot. Joel Hanley, same thing, like a 6-7 with Dallas. Hey, by the way, I need you every single night and in a penalty-killing role. Opportunity has been the word thrown around by Ryan Huska and the leadership group in the Flames team, and that all certainly applies, but it's not going to be easy, and there are going to be some nights where this team just struggles to defend against the top-tier teams because they just don't have the depth that they once had, and it's something that they're trying to rebuild, and I think it's why, in part, you've seen Craig Conroy bring back so many younger defensive options for this group to see if he can't pull out a gem or two in that group. Thank you back to Sunday once again. Blake Coleman, one of the leaders on this team. You know he wasn't happy with their performance against the Hurricanes and is looking for his team to bounce back Tuesday against Colorado.
Blake, obviously a tough game for your team. What's your assessment of why this one played out the way it did?
I just got out, played, out, competed. Everything. It was just an awful, awful effort all around.
Where do you look at that effort, Blake? Is that something, obviously the opponent has a lot to do with it, but as you guys try to count it, where does your effort level come into question from your standpoint?
Well, you just have to have an understanding of where you are and who you're playing, and you know, I've played a lot of tough games in this building against a good team, and you know, the games were I've come out on top here is just a simple, hard road game, and we didn't have that at all.
What do you say to a guy like your goaltender after this?
We've already addressed it, and you know, you feel bad for him. He hasn't been in the net very much lately, and he gets hung out to dry all night long. You know, tic-tac, we made him look way better than they were, and it's unfortunate.
What's the best way to put a game like this behind you?
Well, you know, I've gotten my ass kicked plenty of times in this league, and, you know, it's how you respond, and you know, our leadership group will make sure that showing never happens again.
Is there an explanation for a 24-hour period things kind of went thud? I mean, you had a good first period against the Panthers, and then after that it kind of went thud. Is that a product of, I mean, you're playing two juggernauts, or did you guys really let your foot off the gas?
We beat both these teams earlier in the year. I don't know. Everybody in this league is beatable, in my opinion. And we played a good first period in Florida. Honestly, probably could have been up in that game, just didn't get the bounces. And then we just the fight and the life came out of us, and there's no excuse for it.
There you go. Flames forward Blake Coleman post-game on Sunday afternoon following a loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. Again, next up for the Calgary Flames, Tuesday at the Dome against the Avalanche to kick off a four-game homestand. No practice for the Flames on Monday as they get some rest after back-to-back games in Florida and in Carolina. We do have four games on the NHL schedule tonight, however, including a doubleheader on Sportsnet. You get the Capitals and the Jets.
I would like to say something.
Okay.
I think the Capitals are making the playoffs.
I think
they're going to have a big resurgence. They've already started it. They're starting to string some wins together. I think Ovi's going to will them to the playoffs.
Interesting. They are 3 points back of New York, and the Islanders have won six in a row. Detroit losing five in a row, hey?
Yeah, I don't think Detroit should miss. I think they're talented enough to make it, but they're reeling. The Islanders do this every year. They kind of just get in, but the way that they play is a playoff style of hockey, so they can do something, but they don't all the time. It's just, they're just there.
Yeah, I don't like the Islanders, going to be honest with you.
They're not fun to watch.
No, they don't.
Barzal is so sick, but they stick him in the system where he can't do anything sick.
Can't have cool facial hair.
That is ridiculous, by the way.
It's weird. Could be the debut of Tyler Toffoli tonight in Winnipeg. Jets go out and make a big move for the former Flames sniper as he continues to collect Canadian City jerseys. Now Montreal, Calgary, Vancouver, and Winnipeg for Tyler Toffoli.
He's over halfway there.
He's going to get there. They also added Colin Miller at the trade deadline from New Jersey as well. So the Jets loading up for a potential playoff run. That's a 5:30 puck drop on Sportsnet. Speaking of the New York Islanders, they're the back half of the doubleheader on Sportsnet. An 8:30 start out west against the LA Kings, who I don't know if they did themselves any favors really come trade deadline. Sounded like a proposed trade that Frank Cervalli talked about with Linus Allmark and the Boston Bruins that may or may not have fallen through at some point. Los Angeles, currently in the third spot in the Pacific with 75 points, tied with Vegas, but they have a game in hand on the Golden Knights. So watch for the Kings. We'll see if Talbot and Riddick is enough to get them into the postseason to do some damage. We'll have to wait and see. So again, Capitals, Jets, 5:30, Islanders, Kings at 8:30, doubleheader on Sportsnet. We also have the Blues and the Bruins kicking things off at 5 o'clock, and then the New Jersey Devils and their new-look goaltending tandem in a battle of the East. They're taking on the Rangers, who also added some pieces heading into the trade deadline. So lots to watch for on a four-game NHL schedule tonight. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll chat with Jason Bukala from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca to get his thoughts on some winners and losers of the NHL's trade deadline, some moves he liked, some moves he didn't like. We'll also talk NFL free agency. If you've missed it, NFL free agency going crazy on this Monday. New homes for running backs all over the place. Saquon Barkley's got a new home. Tony Pollard has signed. Aaron Jones has been released by the Packers after they signed a new running back today. Also, a team desperately in need of a quarterback pays up big time for one. We'll tell you who's heading where a little bit later on in the program. But when we come back, more on the Calgary Flames with the voice, color voice of the Calgary Flames, Megan Mickelson, Olympic champion, world champion with Team Canada over her illustrious career. Get her thoughts on what she's seen from the Calgary Flames post-trade deadline, who stood out for her in a good way and a bad way, all of that and more as our coverage continues here on the Flames and on Sportsnet 960. I want to remind you, Eric Francis Fridays on Flames Talk. Good one on Friday. If you missed it, it's up on the podcast. All the post-trade deadline thoughts with Eric Francis. He's on Flames broadcasts, obviously on Sportsnet.ca. But he goes solo every Friday at 5 for Flames Talk on the Eric Francis Hour. A must-listen for Flames fans. Brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. The horse racing and breeding industry has an $83 million positive economic impact on Calgary annually. Visit thehorses.com, 18+. Please play responsibly. More on the Flames when we come back with Megan Mickelson here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. All right, hour one rolls on this Monday edition of Sportsnet Today. Logan Gordon along with you. Off day for the Calgary Flames on Monday, back at it on Tuesday to start off a four-game homestand against the Colorado Avalanche. Trade deadline has come and gone, and we know for the most part what this Flames group is going to look like as they head down the stretch in the 2023-2024 season. Curious after a tough weekend, what's next for the group? And always a pleasure to be joined by our next guest. She is the color voice of the Calgary Flames here on Sportsnet 960. You also see her on the Sportsnet panel during TV broadcasts of the intermission. It is Megan Mickelson joining us this afternoon. Mick, thanks for the time. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, Logo. How are you?
I'm good. Tough weekend for the Flames. That's a rough back-to-back into Florida and Carolina for a couple afternoon games. What did you see from the group, especially Sunday? That was a tough one in Carolina.
Yeah, that was a tough weekend for the group for sure. And I mean, they came out strong in that first period against Florida, and then things just sort of went downhill from there. But you look at the way they played against the Tampa Bay Lightning and the way that they've played against top-tier teams all season long. I mean, they've shown they can go toe-to-toe with those guys. But, you know, I wonder if I always try to put myself in the position of, you know, if I were a player, and you think of everything that's gone on over the course of the season, and, you know, as the trade deadline was approaching, and there's a lot of emotions, and it's been a grind for this group. And, you know, I just wonder if maybe things are starting to catch up to them a little bit. And that's not to say that, you know, the season's done and they should pack it in. Things have caught up to them and that's it. It's just more so that, you know, the group looked, you know, pretty mentally and physically fatigued. And you think about all the emotions you go through as an individual player and then what they've gone through as a team leading up to that trade deadline with everything that was on the line. And there has to have been, you know, an emotional letdown on Saturday and on Sunday as well. And then you throw in there the fact that you're playing back-to-backs against two of the top teams in the league with travel, three games and four nights, and that doesn't help your cause either. So, you know, I think there's some of that. I also really think that they missed Connor Zary and Martin Pospisil and what that line of Kadri and the kids have done. Like, to me, it was very evident that they were missing just that offensive elite talent of Connor Zary and then just that energy and that pop that Martin Pospisil can bring. And on the back end as well, I think something I've been keeping a close eye on, and I'm sure that most have, is just the impact of Chris Tanev and Noah Hanifin leaving and what that does to your group on the back end. And, you know, from a defensive standpoint, you know, it's been tough for Rasmus Anderson and Mackenzie Weegar to take on a different, you know, role and responsibility, just in terms of, like, they've been getting a lot more starts in the D zone. And I think that they've struggled with that a bit. So I think that it was sort of a perfect storm in Carolina, I guess you could say, as everything came together. But, you know, I think if we've learned one thing about this group all season long is that, you know, we've seen them down and out on losing streaks, but there's no quit in the group. So I know that I'm anxious to see how they're going to come back against Colorado tomorrow.
You mentioned it there, the, you know, last couple of games. It's now five without Chris Tanev and obviously a couple without Noah Hanifin now. Where have you seen the biggest change defensively for this group with those two guys out? Where are they sort of having to adjust the most now that those two are gone, Mick?
Yeah, well, for me, as a former defenseman, and, you know, I watched the game from that lens quite a bit, and the biggest thing that's missing with those guys gone is obviously how solid they are in the D zone, playing against other teams' top lines and shutting them down. But one of the most underrated skills for a defenseman that isn't talked about that often is just your ability to get the puck out of your own end. And you look at Noah Hanifin, how many times this season did we see him skate the puck out of the defensive end and, you know, make a really nice move, haul it through the neutral zone and right into the offensive zone. Chris Tanev has had some just really elite, you know, simple passes out of the corner, but there's been so many times where he's made little plays either to the center or the winger, or made one extra move and then advanced the puck to the forwards, and then they're up and out of their zone. So for me, like, the two biggest things are just that solidity on the back end, that leadership in their role in shutting down other teams' top lines, and then just getting the puck out of their own end. And it starts with a lot of the D zone starts that they had. So, you know, for me, those are the two biggest things. And, you know, as I mentioned, Rasmus Anderson and Mackenzie Weegar are sort of being asked to take on more of that role, and they've struggled with it a little bit, but I think it's becoming pretty evident that they're really missing those two guys on the back end.
Yeah, as we kind of thought was going to happen, and just so happened we had to
wait
till almost just before trade deadline for the final one to happen, and now you've got to sort of readjust on the fly. And look, we've got some interesting names back there now that you mentioned, Weegar and Anderson, but there are also some newer faces now that are going to get more of an opportunity. We've seen a couple games with Joel Hanley and even Daniil Miromanov, who comes over from Vegas. What have you seen out of those two guys in their first couple games in Flames colors?
Yeah, and that's the great thing is you look at the back end and there's a lot of potential and a lot of room to grow for those guys. And I would even look at Oliver Shillington, and he kind of, we saw it on the assist that he got on Dryden Hunt's goal yesterday, where he hauled the puck up the neutral zone, up the left side of the ice, and just that speed and his ability to really drive the play. He's got some serious jets, but the way that he just kind of flipped a switch in that game and turned things on, he really, you know, to me, I think he has a much higher ceiling as well. So it's the group that they have. And Braden Pahal, I would say, also the game against Florida, I thought he was quite good. He had a rough game yesterday against Carolina. He was minus two, but against Florida, he played 18 minutes and 4 seconds. He had 2 shots on goal, 5 hits. So that physical element and that edge that he brings, that's a real positive also. But for Joel Hanley, he came as advertised, and we've heard the coaching staff say that. I mean, he's a defense first. He can play with some pace, and he has some mobility to his game. But he's a depth defenseman. Like, he's a 6'7", and you know, as asked, you know, it's hard to say who's 3, 4, 5, 6 right now, if you even want to try to number them at this point. But he's a depth guy. He's a 6'7" guy. But I think, you know, you look at, I mean, he got claimed on Tuesday. Like, he hasn't even been with the team for a week.
No.
Like, we have really high expectations of these guys coming in. It's like, we want you to come in and hit the ground running and be solid, and you can't make any mistakes. And, but I think he's done a really nice job in coming in and playing the way that the coaching staff has asked of him to play. Daniil Miromanov he's an interesting one for me, and he's intriguing, obviously, with his size, the fact that he's a right-handed shot. He used to be a winger and moved to playing defense. I also went through that transition pretty late in my career, so, you know, I kind of understand with him, like, when you make that switch from forward to D, you sort of see the ice and the game a little bit differently. Like, for example, if I would get the puck behind my net as a defenseman, I never wanted to rim the puck around the boards to the wingers, because I knew as a winger what a difficult play that was. When you get the puck on the wall, you have pressure coming down on you. So just, you know, taking an extra step around the net and trying to make a direct pass to a winger, like little plays like that, that are sort of in your head as a defenseman. And so I really liked the way that he moves the puck. You can tell that he's composed. There's no panic in his game. And I think that's something that's really promising. That's not something that you can really necessarily teach, is just to be that composed and make those plays under pressure the way that he has. The other thing I would say is that we have to remember that he's only played 6 NHL games since coming back from a very severe knee injury.
Yes.
So, you know, a torn ACL, he had some meniscal repairs as well. So he and I seem to have a lot in common in the fact that we were both forwards, both right-handed shots. And I had the same surgery as he did, similar surgery anyways, and similar injury. And I mean, I know what it feels like when you're coming back from that physically. I can't say exactly how he feels right now, but for me, I know it took quite a while to get, you know, the first 2 to 3 strides, especially just that explosiveness in your skating, that takes a little bit of time to come back. And I didn't feel my best until I would say 1.5 to 2 years out of surgery on the ice. And so that takes time to come back. But the good thing about that is, I mean, I like his mobility. I like the way that I like his gap. I like, he has a good long stick. He's always stick on puck. He was talked about his offensive upside coming in, and just what Craig Conroy and the coaching staff liked about him was his offensive upside. But I like the way that he has defended as well. He boxes out guys in front. He picks up sticks. But, you know, like I said, with that knee injury, it's, to me, what we're seeing now, I don't think is going to be what his full potential is. And not just the fact that he's coming back from a knee injury, but again, same reasons as Joel Hanley. Like, he's very new to this group, new to the systems, and those take a while to kind of wrap your head around. So, I mean, I really like the additions. I'm really curious to see if we're going to see Nikita Ochuchuk in the game tomorrow after the weekend that they had. I mean, they gave up 12 goals against over the last 2 games, and he's a guy that, you know, he's physical. He brings some toughness. So I wonder if maybe he gets a look tomorrow night. But, like, there's going to be growing pains on the back end, but it's an opportunity for these guys, and they've talked about it a lot. Like, when, you know, guys leave, it's that next man up mentality. And as a player, you should be excited at the fact you're being given more ice time and being given an opportunity to play in a bunch of different situations. So, you know, there's a lot on the table for these guys to grab a hold of.
Yeah, I like how you put that because, I mean, even going back to Braden Pahal being a waiver claim, you know, he was a 6'7" guy in Vegas. Same with Joel Hanley in Dallas. Like, these aren't guys that were given the opportunity. And look, they were on very good teams with, you know, deep defensive units. You know, you're not always going to get to play if you're that kind of guy there. In Calgary, here you are. You're getting, you know, sometimes 18, 20 minutes a night to show that you can be a full-time NHLer. There's plenty on the table for these guys given this opportunity down the stretch.
Yeah, exactly. And I wouldn't even say it's just on them. I think, you know, we always look at, you know, team performances and individual performances separately, but they often go hand in hand. When the team's playing well, individuals are producing and they're, you know, getting points and everything looks peachy keen. And then when guys are playing well, then the team's playing well. Like, it goes both ways, right? Yeah. So I look at it, like, you look at the way that the forward group wasn't great, you know, the last five periods in terms of supporting the defensemen in the D zone. And, I mean, you're a five-man unit all over the ice, and especially in the D zone when things get crazy and get chaotic. And a lot of your ability to get out of your own end depends on where the forwards are positioning themselves as outlet options for the defensemen. So I do think that, you know, the forwards can also do a better job of just, you know, supporting in the D zone so that they can not spend as much time as they have in their own end.
Megan Mickelson's along with us talking all things Calgary Flames, now a couple games out from the NHL's trade deadline. We spent a lot of time talking about the D there, Mick, but also because you mentioned Connor Zary and Martin Pospisil out for different reasons, saw expanded roles for Jacob Pelche and Matt Coronato over the last couple games as well. How did you feel the two youngsters did, given some more opportunity in the Flames lineup?
I really liked Matt Coronato against Tampa Bay. You know, for him, and Brian Huska mentioned it, he needs to have that, like, dog on a bone mentality. Like, he needs to be really feisty and hungry on pucks when he's checking all over the ice. He's got some speed, and that's something that, you know, he needs to bring. If he's playing with Jonathan Huberdeau and Yegor Sharangovich, then he has to be that guy that can, you know, open up some space for them and go and retrieve pucks. And I thought that game against Tampa, he did that. He played with confidence, even, you know, had a little bit of a swagger, and he made some really good plays. He had one outstanding back check. I think it was on one of Yegor Sharangovich's goals, but just an outstanding defensive play that doesn't happen without, you know, a back check like that. So I thought he was really good in that first game. And then again, it's tough to say against Florida and Carolina because, I mean, the group as a whole wasn't good. So it's really tough to, you know, evaluate individual performances in those games. But I think, you know, that first game back when against Tampa, I definitely did see a ton of progress from the last time that he was up. So I think that was really, really promising. Jacob Pelche, you know, again, against Tampa, I thought he was good. And then, you know, he brought energy. He created some offense. I thought that, you know, he did his job.
Yeah.
But again, against Florida and Carolina, individual performances are difficult to evaluate. And, you know, I do think those guys have some room to grow. And I mean, you hear guys talk about it all the time and how long it takes to really get comfortable at the NHL level, the schedule, the pace, the quickness in terms of how fast guys make plays. And then, you know, keeping in mind that Florida and Carolina, they were two very hard teams to play against in terms of their pressure all over the ice. Is crazy. Like, they are all over you. You have zero time and space out there. So, you know, they took that away against everybody, but they definitely took it away against Coronato and Pelche as well. One guy I have really liked is Dryden Hunt.
Yes.
He continues to just really impress me. Like, no matter what line he's playing on, he's got an edge. And I thought he was the Flames' best player yesterday against Carolina. And you could see, like, when he scored the first goal in that game for the Flames and, you know, the look on his face and just how intense he was. And you could see the words come out of his mouth. He said, "Let's go, boys." Like, it didn't matter what the score was. He was doing everything in his power to help the team come back in that game. And I thought, you know, to the very end, and Ryan Huska's I mean, I have a lot of respect for the way that he plays the group, and that whoever's playing well, who's working, who's skating, like, you're going to get ice time. And that's what's happened with Dryden Hunt. We saw later on in the game yesterday, he was getting a ton of ice time. So I really like what Dryden Hunt has done since he's come up and he's been with the group again.
Just two more quick ones for you before I let you go, Mick. Yegor Sharangovich sure looks like a guy that takes a little bit of time to adjust to his new surroundings, whether that's coming to Calgary and learning his way through training camp in the first little bit of the season, and then maybe moving to center and sort of transitioning his game and figuring it out. But once he figures it out, it sure feels like a guy that, you know, the Flames can rely on and have been really happy with this year. He's been really good the last couple of weeks since adjusting to that center ice move, eh?
Yeah, he really seems to have found kind of his balance and his groove there. I remember watching him earlier on in the season, and I've always been really impressed with his 200-foot game. Like, as a forward, he was always kind of that F3 high in the offensive zone and hanging back and being in really good position, letting the D pinch. And so he was always, like, defensively very responsible. So, I mean, I've always liked that about his game. I think it just took him a little bit of time to figure out the extra responsibilities that come along with being a centerman, figuring out your positioning in the D zone. Remember the way the Flames play in the D zone, the centermen are asked to do a lot. So I think it just took him some time to figure that out. And since then, he scores in all situations too, which is what is so impressive. Like 5-on-5 on the power play, he's got shorthanded goals, game-winning goals. He's been sensational for this team, you know, all season long, minus that little bit of stretch that it took him some time to get used to playing that center role. But there was one stat for me, Logo, yesterday that I was really pleased to see, and that was his face-off percentage was at 55%.
Yeah.
So that was great to see. He's struggled in the face-off circle since he's moved to center. But I do know, like, he's been studying other teams before the games and the way that their players take face-offs. And he's on the ice all the time after practice or pregame skate. And he's working at it. So that was really good to see as well.
And last but not least, how excited are you for morning skate tomorrow, where we're going to have all these defensemen, and who knows if Zary's healthy and Pospisil's back. Like, Pat's going to have a hell of a time tweeting out lines and D pairings, because you got to figure what everything's going to look like for this team heading into Tuesday's game.
Well, and it should be a full group on the ice for morning skate too, because they had this morning off. So those are the best days to go to the rink, is when it's a wait and see and who's in and who's out. And so there's always lots to talk about on those days. So I know I'm really looking forward to it, and, you know, it's going to be a tough game against the Avalanche tomorrow night, so no matter who plays, they got to be up to the task.
Yep, looking forward to it. Mick, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for hopping on with us. We'll see you tomorrow at the Dome, hey?
You bet. Have a good one.
Take care. Megan Mickelson joining us, the color voice of the Calgary Flames, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Also see her on the TV side of things on the intermission panel as well, alongside with Ryan Leslie and Eric Francis, and of course world champion, Olympic gold champion, blah 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 blah. If you care about those things, she's an outstanding person and mother and all these sort of great attributes.
Yeah, she's just the best.
Yeah, it's just, she's okay, I guess.
She's overqualified for all of this and
making us all look bad.
No kidding.
Megan Mickelson, just kidding, of course, makes the best. Coming down the Atlas Beats and Sports Bar guest hotline, our chat with Megan Mickelson. You'll hear her and Derek Wills on the call tomorrow night for the Flames and the Colorado Avalanche. And I'm very, very curious as to what this group looks like, period, after a tough loss to Carolina. If Connor Zary's healthy, he's eligible to come off of IR on Sunday. So is he healthy and ready to go? Martin Pospisil's back from his 3-game suspension. How do you sort things out if you're Ryan Huska? It'd be hard to take Dryden Hunt out of the lineup. He's been playing really well, but somebody's got to come out for Pospisil at a minimum. So maybe it's a Walker Dewar that finds himself on the outside looking in again. I don't know what you do if both guys are out. Maybe we talk about Matt Coronato being sent back down to the Wranglers. We'll have to wait and see what that looks like. And then, yeah, perhaps on defense, a new look as well, as we haven't seen the most recent acquisition from the Calgary Flames either make his way into the lineup. That's Nikita Hochuk came over from the San Jose Sharks on Friday. He's with the NHL club, having played 43 games with San Jose this season. So we'll wait and see. Going to be an interesting one on Tuesday. Big game for the Calgary Flames as they welcome in the Colorado Avalanche for the first of four at home. And then, oh yeah, Noah Hanifin and the Vegas Golden Knights just happened to walk in on Thursday. So a lot to talk about here when it comes to the Calgary Flames. And you know we got it covered here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Take a break, come back on the other side. Still reeling from a busy trade deadline across the NHL. Massive, massive moves. Everybody seemingly loading up. If you're in a playoff spot in the East or the West, you load it up to try to make a Stanley Cup run. And we know only one team comes out looking really good for it. We're going to ask our pal Jason Bukula from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca who he thought best positioned themselves going forward into the NHL's postseason. Maybe who could have done more, who should have done more. Anybody overpay in Jason's mind? This is always reaction time post-trade deadline. We'll do that next with Jason Bukula from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. He kicks off hour two of the program next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.